everybody. This is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
Welcome to the podcast. That was very fancy and professional.
Yes. Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah.
We are fancy and professional.
Okay, since we did the last podcast, we have gotten to spend some time with Christy Knuckles.
Yes, we have. Yes. It was everything I dreamed it would be.
I would say it was everything I dreamed it would be and more.
Yeah. I left there with her cell phone number.
I know. And have you texted her?
I will admit I have texted her one time.
Okay, good for you.
Mm-hmm. I texted her one time, but I have reined it in. I have not texted her more than one time because I would hate for somebody to feel like they had to change their cell phone number because of me.
I know. Well, I don't, cause you want to make sure, like, if you had any initial momentum, and I felt like we had some good initial momentum.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like we acted very normal.
I feel like we acted very normal, but I've laughed about, it's that thing of, you know how we've had this discussion. Like maybe times in your youth when you might have had too much to drink, and when you think to yourself, "I am walking very normally." Like,
I don't know
nobody
anything about that.
No, well, I know you don't. I'm saying, I know you don't. But I had moments throughout that day with Christy where I thought, I'm thinking to myself, I'm acting very normally.
Look how normal I am.
Look how I am. You would want me as a friend because I am very normal and am making very normal conversation.
Yes, I am breezy. Do you see how breezy I am?
Yes. I mean, I'm not acting weird at all. So, but I think part of it too is that kind of the whole thing was that we had to be over the top in what we were filming. So yes. I'm like, well, here's a good place for, I'm going to channel my crazy into my acting.
Sure, as any good actor would do.
I'm going to channel all my emotions.
As any respecter of the craft would do.
Yes, yes. That is what I will tell James Lipton if I'm ever on his show.
That's right.
About my acting.
Yeah, so, I still have moments and get tickled where I think, without giving too much away, we rode around in a car and screamed singing another time, another place.
Yeah.
With Christy Knuckles.
Yeah. I know. We haven't only met her. We have sung to her and at her.
I attempted to harmonize with her.
Listen.
Yeah, I sent Travis a snippet of the video that Paige sent us.
Oh, I didn't get it.
Oh, hold on. Well, I'll send it to you right now. Okay, it's the part where we're singing backup.
Oh, I have not gotten it.
Okay. Well, I sent it to Travis, and he apparently I sound so Southern. It is laughable to a fine singer like himself.
Oh, God.
But David got so tickled when I showed it to him because it's that whole thing of when I was really bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were there again, though. You were embracing your role. You were acting.
Yes. But the fact that we sang with her, I think.
I know.
Maybe one of the most surreal things that's ever happened.
Yeah. I think it's totally bizarre. And it's one of those, I know you've always felt this way about the Dot Mom videos, but I really have already thought to myself, I was like, this is going to be the one I don't know that I'm going to actually be able to watch.
Oh yeah. I can't watch any of them.
I'm not going to be able to watch myself on this one. I mean, it's going to be too much. It's going to be more than I could bear.
Well, because you know what I feel like we did this time, and Aaron, my friend who wrote the script for the video, and I talked about this after,
mm-hmm.
I feel like you and I really committed. I feel like we went all in this time. Whereas in the past, maybe like we would joke about like, okay, I'll pretend.
Yeah.
Like, no, I feel like we went all in. I feel like we were bold.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree. I think so too. And I thought later, I don't really know why they caught us both on a good day where we were just gamers.
They did. We were gamers. And you know what I think it was? I think in a way that whole situation could have been so awkward. It was easier just to buy in.
Yeah.
It was easier to do the buy in and to be, I don't know, just and to be a fool. It was
to kind of go in this so bizarre that I'm acting like I'm this obsessed with your hair, Christy. No. When the truth is, I'm absolutely that obsessed, but that's okay.
And I really did sniff it, and I sniffed it up close.
Yeah, all your dreams have come true now.
Mm-hmm. So, and I touched it too.
Yeah. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Certainly did.
Yes.
I think I'll ask, because we finished the last little part of it, which will be the first little part of it, yesterday. And I asked Neil if Neil is the guy, he's the director of the videos, and I asked him if he had started working on it yet, and he said no. Okay. Because they're waiting to get all those, there's some cameos.
Oh yeah.
But I have high hopes for it. I won't be able to watch it.
No.
But I'll know if people are laughing at it or not.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I will not be able to watch it. I will not be able to watch it. But it was very fun, and Christy could not have been more lovely.
Just an angel.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Super nice. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was everything I dreamed it would be, which I did laugh because after meeting her, and she was so nice and so down to earth and so fun and funny, that I thought it really does make you appreciate that one of the angles they had talked about doing for the video, which they end up, you can't really do it right. But like to make her just this awful person,
right?
That behind the scenes, she's just this like wild, out of control, total diva. But mm-hmm. Now that I've met her, I can appreciate like how funny that would have, what I mean? That contrast.
That can't fly on any level.
No, no. So anyway, so that was that. So yes, we have done that and lived to tell about it and acted very normal.
Oh, I mean, more normal than anybody has ever been, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think what stunned me too about her is like when they had those little snippets where she would just have to stand on stage and they're telling her like, just sing something, like just sing. And then she just starts singing and you're like, well, that's like the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And you just did that.
I know.
Just off the top of your head. Just sang. Yeah.
Just sang. Mm-hmm. That was you.
That was my phone. Sorry.
Oh, it was fine. But same thing. Yeah. I thought that's just crazy that you can do that on command.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That you just start off. And she said at one point, she was like, I mean, I haven't really sang anything in a month. And I'm like, well, sister, that's better than
anything. That's my best day of my life.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even that's not me till I get to heaven.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So anyway,
that was fun.
It was fun. So yeah, so we had a great time.
And that's the only thing I've done this summer besides go to Mississippi a couple times. That was my big trip apparently this summer.
Yeah. Then I know, I can't believe y'all aren't going to the beach.
Well, here, we could have gone that week that school was out and I could not bring myself to pack.
Yes.
I'm not going to go into it again, but I was exhausted. And so, we'll go at some point. I mean, we'll go maybe in the fall or we'll go at some point.
Yeah.
But probably would have gone the first week in August, but that's when Alex starts football. So we can't.
Gotcha.
So, but I could stay at home forever. I have decided I could stay at home and never go anywhere for the rest of my life. And be okay. I really could. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, I'd go to the grocery store and stuff. I'd take
you
him
and
back.
Howard Hughes.
Yeah. I could take him back and forth to school. But I mean, in terms of, am I a person who needs a plan of somewhere to go every day? No, I am not. I am not.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. Me neither. Because even like us leaving on the road trip right after I'd gotten back from Nashville, because it was like got home from Nashville, which I was only there two nights, but like got home, I was home two nights, and then we left on the road trip. And like by the time the road trip was over, which I never feel this way, but I was like, I was just ready. I wasn't ready for the fun to be over. I was just ready to be home. Like I was just ready to be back in my house, do it. And I think too, it's like I've just a lot of, I don't know, just in the summer, there's things I want to get done and just like, like sit on my couch and watch a lot of TV. And read a lot of books and all that stuff. Although I have plowed through some books this summer.
You have. You've done way better than I have.
Mm-hmm. I've read a lot of books this summer. So, but that's, I don't know. It's, I like being home.
Hey, how are you liking the U-verse?
You know what? It's funny that you bring that up.
Oh, good.
Well, it's funny. I like it. I think I don't know that I like it as much as I like Dish.
Okay.
I don't know. Here's one thing I'm going to say, which AT&T do better. I feel like, and I don't know what's happened, and they changed where our wireless router is in our house. Mm-hmm, but like, mm-hmm. I feel like there have been several times where like we'll have the TV on and all of a sudden we've lost our wireless connection.
No.
Yes.
You need to get them back out to the house.
Well, and last night I noticed, so our wireless, and you know the layout of my house, so you can appreciate this. So our router, they put it in Caroline's playroom, which is that front room in mm-hmm, our house kind mm-hmm. of. But last night, Perry wasn't home, and so Caroline got in bed. She was in our bedroom, which is in the back of the house, and our house is not big. Let me clarify that. So we're not talking about a mansion. We're not even talking about 2,000 square feet.
Right.
So, but we were in the back of the house in the bedroom, and like she could not get a good internet connection just in our bedroom from the front room.
They need to bring you a new router, and they need to move it. That's what okay. I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
I think that's what David Hudson would tell you with all authority.
Okay. Well, I was just about to say, I wish David could call them and deal with them to do all that. It's just the hassle of calling them. But I thought last night, I was like, this should not be a problem. We should be able to get a good wireless signal anywhere in our house. If I can pick up my neighbor's wireless signal at full strength, you know, like
right. No, it shows not that up. You would.
No. Well, and they have a password. You can't even break into
okay,
it.
Okay. Okay.
But it's just that whole thing. But if it shows up on my options as full strength, then I shouldn't be. And so I'm going to tell you that I've got AT&T in a precarious position, because I'm going to tell you what Dish Network was smart enough to do. When mm-hmm. I called them, did I already tell you this?
No.
Well, when I called them to cancel my service, which was, I called them after AT&T hooked everything up here. I called them and they said, we understand, you know, customer, we can offer you a significant portion off your bill. You know, that's when they're the bargain with you.
Okay. Ironically, you're yes. super digitized right now.
See? It's like a conspiracy.
Okay. Go ahead then.
Now am I better now?
You're better now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, when I called Dish Network, anyway, they offered me money off my monthly bill. And then they said, just to make sure that you're content with your U-verse before you fully let go of Dish Network, we are willing to just suspend your service and charge you just $5 a month for the next 3 months in case you want to restore so you still have all your equipment,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which I opted to do.
But you switched to U-verse because of the phones and all the things, right?
Well, yes, I did, mm-hmm.
but I would go back
to Dish maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. The verdict is still out. The other thing I don't like on the U-verse is I liked on Dish that when I pulled up my recordings, they were all displayed for me with like a little icon where I could see what it was. Like I felt like the display was a lot friendlier.
With a, like, what do you mean with a little, like a little icon, a like little of the show?
Of the show.
And it so was you didn't have to, you didn't have to read.
Yes, that's it. Yes. Yes. Don't stress me out when I'm watching TV.
Yeah, listen, this is America. We need to be able to get by with a picture. We don't need the words.
No, I want a picture. But I liked it because it would say, like, it would, I don't know, just something about having those little pictures. Maybe it's just, I just have to, and here's what I will say in all fairness. I have not watched nearly, I just don't watch TV in the summer like I watch it during the school year. Right. You know what I mean? There's not as much on. So I'm not recording as much right now, and I'm not turning on the TV a lot. So in the whole scheme of things, maybe I just need to get used to it. Maybe it's just a learning curve and it's going to take me a little bit of time and I will learn to embrace the U-verse. But the last thing, and then I'll quit talking about this because people are like, this is so boring. But
I think it's fun. I think it's riveting.
Okay. Well, with our Dish, we had a thing called the Johnny Hopper. Where
it's the Johnny Hopper anyway, connected to the LaCroix Pamplemousse?
Yeah, well, no, and actually I said it wrong. It's the Joey Hopper. Mm. It's not a Johnny Hopper. Joey, like a kangaroo.
Okay.
So, but we have our built-ins, and I could have the cabinet doors completely shut, and we still had excellent. I didn't have to have the cabinet doors open to be able to control our DVR. Mm-hmm. And I asked the guy this, and he was nice enough when he installed to give me like this remote sensor with this special remote that's supposed to do that, but it does not really do that unless you're sitting right in a certain location on the couch.
Well, it may not be for you. Listen, I feel like
might not.
I feel like your cable and internet service. It's personal. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like a church. It's like you go to church. Like,
it's got to be the right fit for you and your family. It's got to make sense for how you live. I mean, it's.
Yeah. And I don't know if I, and I feel like too, here's the other thing. Cause sadly, I am the tech person in our house.
Right.
And so I feel like I'm not really thrilled with having to continually educate Perry on how to use a new system. You know, like he's like, how do I record the series? Well, where do I find the, and then you add this to the fact that now my eyes have gotten to the point where I can't read the new markings on the new remote control without my reading glasses.
I noticed last night on Instagram, you had your reading glasses on.
Yeah. I think my eyesight has taken a dip because I'm noticing I'm needing them more and more. Mm-hmm. So
I'm just going to tell you that 44, there's something that happens at 44.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm right on the brink.
I know. That's what I'm saying. 44, my eyes and my skin, but Godspeed is what I'm going to tell you.
Well, cause I noticed last night, which you couldn't see, I put that picture on Instagram and I was wearing my glasses cause I was reading this book, and I don't know if it has smaller print than the other books I've been reading or what, but I will confess to, and I thought, well, this is a low point. At one point I was having a hard time reading it, and maybe I was just tired, but I was using the flashlight app on my phone.
That's 44.
That's my reading 44. Glasses so that I could read it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and Caroline was like, Mom, why is your flashlight on? I was like, babe, it's because I can't see. Will you go turn the lights up for Mom? I can't see.
Yeah. Lighting is critical. Like, lighting is critical.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's where I am right now. Walking in humility with my eyesight and my flashlight app.
Well, I think maybe you versus, I mean, like that whole signal thing is big. So you should be able to get a good signal.
Yeah. Well, you know, they got off to a rocky start because, you know, like the second night we had it was when A&M was playing in the Super Regional, was playing TCU. And like in the 15th inning of that game, I lost my signal.
That's right. That's right.
And so that tended to get us. Oh, my gosh. Piper is growling at something at the door. Hold on. Let me go see what's going on.
She's okay.
Hold on. I'll be right back. Okay. I'm back.
Is everything okay?
Yeah. Well, Scout, it was stayed in the back door, and Mabel was growling at Scout. She doesn't like when she doesn't like the way he breathes heavy. She doesn't like him standing at the back door. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yes, I let the puppies out and let Scout in.
Okay. Gotcha.
Cause he's an old man. He doesn't need to be out in the heat. I got real tickled because you were talking about that picture I put on Instagram last night, and it was of Mabel, like totally not giving me any personal space. And somebody commented, I saw this morning, that somebody said to a friend, they said, here's the author we were talking about yesterday. Her dogs are so neurotic.
Well, listen.
Oh, her dogs are so neurotic. So, and they are.
Yeah. Mine too, sister. Mine too. Mm-hmm. The Hazel, you know, like she freaks out if we're going to leave the house. But I mean, a couple of nights ago, I needed to get some things out of my car, and I walked out in the garage. She didn't move a muscle because I didn't have shoes on. So she knew that I was not leaving.
Oh, she wasn't worried. See, she's figured it out.
No shoes, no keys. But this morning I put my shoes on and she starts pacing. She's like, mm-hmm. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she knows.
It's crazy how she knows.
She knows. I know. Ours the other day, like they've figured out, like, and if I tell them, like when they hear my keys, they just go nuts. They start running because they're waiting to go to the dog park because they know at some point during the day we'll go. And so they start racing. But if I walk out and tell them, no, we're not going right now. No, then they settle down. It's like they know. Like that's my, but the other day we were getting ready to go to the dog park and they were in the house and Caroline was in her room getting ready. And so I was like, Doodle, are you ready to go? Like just like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they started losing their minds. They were racing around the kitchen and jumping. I mean, they knew. Like I was like, God, they're smart.
They are smart. So, Dogs. Okay, so when you take them to the dog park, are they off the leash the whole time?
Yeah, they're off the leash the whole time. time. I know. So I take them, I drive them because it's sad because it's close enough that if they were normal dogs, I could walk them down there.
Right.
But
right.
They're too keyed up and they would kill me. So I load them in the back of my car. I drive them down there and then they know, like as soon as I open up the hatch, they fly out and go straight to the entrance and I let them in. And then when they leave, you know, by then they're tired. And so I just open up the back gate and I tell them, go load. And they jump in the back of the car and we drive off.
Well, they need to spend some time with Hazel. Like we need to communicate that somehow.
Yeah, they do a good job. And then they're very friendly to the other dogs. But now I was saving this for the podcast because I, you know, at the dog park, I've been talking to fellow dog owners.
Sure.
You know, yeah. We share thoughts and ideas. And so this nice man yesterday recommended to me, he said that they looked all over for the best place to leave their dogs and that they found a place called Lucy's Doggy Daycare. And he said, it is wonderful. And he told me that he said they work with all kinds of dogs. It's a great place. But he told me, and this is a true story, he said what really sold his wife is that when one day they had left their dog there for like daycare, and when they went to pick her up, they had brought in a caricaturist that day to draw caricatures.
God love them.
Of all, like they're at Six Flags. They're getting their caricature done, you
well,
know?
Sure.
Like,
they're in Jackson Square, New Orleans.
Yeah, like they're getting. So I looked up Lucy's online, and I'm going to tell you, it goes even. You can throw a birthday party for your dog, or as they call it, a potty.
Oh, my word.
Yes. And it comes with an hour of doggy daycare and interactive games, self-serve dog washes, and up to 10 party bags for guests and a dog-friendly cake.
Okay. You have to take Piper and Mabel there to see if they can make the cut.
Oh, I've already called them. I mean, don't worry. I've already called and left a message.
Okay.
And so I'm going to see if they will take them. I don't if they'll at least give them a chance.
Just
give them a chance. So anyway, so we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. But I got so tickled about the birthday bash. I thought the day I tell Perry Schenkel I'm gonna have a birthday party for our dogs.
Listen, his eyes will get stuck in the back of his head when he rolls them.
The irony is I've worried all summer about where we're going to leave him. And when we were on the road trip, he ended up being gone for 2 nights and he just had him boarded at our vet, which was to me what I was trying not to do because I feel bad for him because they don't have room to run and stuff.
Right, right.
And so, and he told me, he goes, I don't know why you were so stressed out. They did totally fine. He said, as soon as I picked him up, I took him straight to the dog park. They ran for 30 minutes. They were great. You know, like whatever. And I thought, see that he's like, they're dogs.
I know, I thought, but
see, I know that in my head,
but there are babies.
Yes. And cause I feel like here I'd be at the beach relaxing and Mabel would be looking at her doggy watch, wondering how long marking off days. Like she's in herself
some chalk between her paws, making hatch marks on the walls,
writing haikus that could later be turned into old spirituals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could pick him up. She'd have a harmonica. Like,
yeah. Prison song. She'd turn in. She'd be like the next. She'd be like the Johnny Cash of dogs. That's right. About the Folsom Prison Blues.
Golly.
Oh, I know. So anyway, so we'll see. We'll see if Lucy's calls me back. I left on the machine that they had been asked to leave two separate places because I feel like it's important to give that disclosure.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I don't want to be there under false pretenses.
That's right. Yeah. They need to know what they're getting. They need to know.
Yeah. Are you up for this challenge? Here's the question. Are you up for a challenge? Because I have one for you. So,
do you have a frankincense oil update? Anything there?
No.
Okay.
I haven't been using it very regularly.
Have you found something else?
No, I haven't. But okay. I wasn't sure if I was going to tell you this on the podcast or tell you this privately, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out there for the world to know.
Okay.
So my frankincense, I still like it. We traveled. I didn't take it with me on the road trip. I forgot it. And it's just hit that point of the summer where I'm like, anything I put on my face just melts off anyway.
Right.
And then we came home from the road trip and I was having to have my makeup done. And I'm not even kidding. Like I got one of those like pimples on my chin that's like one of those under the skin. Like,
yes, like a cyst.
So, yes, and it hurts so bad. Like, that it's so painful. And I mean, like, it really, I told Perry, I said, they're going to think I have two chins. Like, this thing is, like, so huge. And so I had Googled, and so I found a YouTube video that said to put Vicks Vapor Rub on it.
Right, which my mama has always said is the cure for everything.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, it went down. I feel like it did not take it, and it left no mark. Like, I will say, other than being red, it slowly took it down. So I think it helped is what I'm going to say. But I started off putting frankincense on it. And then I thought, well, no, because if Vicks Vapor Rub works, that's a lot cheaper than my frankincense oil.
Yeah, for sure.
And so anyway, so I have not. But I'm going to tell you what I ordered today. And I can't.
Please do tell me.
Well, I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm going to have to hide it from Perry.
Okay.
So I was reading Shay's blog today, Mix and Match Mama. Did you read it today?
I haven't read anything today.
Well, it's her Friday favorites. And she recommended this. I can't even say it with a straight face. She recommended this Evian spray water that you're supposed to spritz on your face.
Okay, pause. I bought the Evian spray water at McRae's department store. When, I don't know, I was about 19 years old.
No.
Yes, because some supermodel in a magazine said that when she flew, she liked to spray it on her face for hydration.
Yes.
So I had a spray thing of Evian. I didn't fly anywhere when I was 19, but I had my mama's McRae's card. And so I went to go get makeup and I was like, I believe I will use this. And I did. I used it for a little while. But, I mean, that was when I could do anything to my skin. But so you ordered you some Evian spray water?
So I ordered me this Evian spray water that you're supposed to spray on your face in the morning before you put on your moisturizer. And then it, like, locks in your moisture. You pat it dry. And then you spray it. And it sets your makeup.
Okay.
And it's supposed to, and it's give you like a dewy look, and then you can spray it when you feel like if you're on a plane or you're traveling. But I will tell you, it wasn't just, I mean, I read about it and I was like, what is this spray water? But then you go on the Nordstrom website and like rave reviews, like everybody, like I cannot live without my spray water. I've used this for 20 years. It makes my face feel so, in my skin, I struggle with dry skin. Like I always get these dry. So I'm like, well, I'm going to try the spray water. Okay. But I thought, here's the thing. I am married to somebody who gets mad at Caroline and me for drinking bottled water. He thinks that's the dumbest thing. He thinks bottled water is the dumbest thing ever. And so we have to reuse. Like, I just like having water in a bottle. It's not that I'm so snotty about my water. I like to have a bottle all the time. So I purposely refill mine all the time. Because if we go through like a case of Ozarka in a week, that dry, he's like, that's the most wasteful thing ever. So I thought the fact that I'm now ordering like water from a can to spray on my face.
Yes. Not just water, but water from France.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's purified. It doesn't have fluoride and it doesn't have chlorine. So it's different.
Right.
It's very different.
It's fancy water.
Yeah. So I'm going to use that in my frankincense and we're just going to see how it goes.
Okay.
But I really, when I ordered it, I just have to say in my defense, when I ordered it, I thought this could be the pinnacle of the most bizarre thing I've decided to do.
How much is it now?
Well, I got three like travel size cans for like $20.
Okay. I can't remember how much it was back then. I will say, I remember that it feels really good, you know, when you spray it on, but I don't know. I don't know what it does.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. I'm going to get it. I give it a whirl. I figured summertime's a good time because if nothing else, it'll feel refreshing to walk in and spray my face with water.
Well, sure. Absolutely. It would. I mean, you know, I think if you had a spray bottle from Target and sprayed your face with water.
That's, I know. That's but what
that,
I thought.
But that water would also have, it would have the stuff in it.
Yes, it would have, it's not water from France.
No. How are you going to get water from France in San Antonio unless you buy it from Nordstrom?
Yeah, that's exactly, there you go. That's it. So that's it. So other than that, I mean, I haven't worn makeup. I mean, I had my makeup done whenever that was, but I haven't like bought any new makeup. I haven't worn makeup hardly in weeks.
Me too. I can't, like it just, this is not the time of year for makeup.
It just melts off. I mean, I'm telling you, the other day when she had, when I'd had my makeup done for the John Tesh thing, I mean, I came home and I kind of wanted to make it last. And I looked in the mirror and first of all, she'd done it knowing it was going to be for a TV thing. So, I mean, she had a lot more than if I were doing a, so when I saw myself in my mirror, I was like, well, this is a lot of layers of stuff on my face. And like, I felt like by then I could have like peeled it off. You know, because she used like real foundation. I never wear like actual foundation. So do you wear foundation?
Sometimes I do, like when I say like that I wear it, I mean like just the tiniest bit, more to kind of even out color. Because I always wear concealer. And then sometimes if I feel like I look splotchy, I'll pinch the tiniest bit. But there's a NARS foundation that I like a lot. It's a matte foundation and it's thin. And I'll just put just a tiny little bit on. And mainly I just wear it like right on my cheeks, kind of right in there. Yeah. Just to kind of even out color.
Okay.
And then I wear powder, you know, all the time. So
yeah. Okay.
If I'm wearing makeup. So, but it's not a, it's not like a real true, like cream foundation kind of thing. It's just, it's a real light. It's almost like, feels like a moisturizer.
Okay. Okay. Well, she told me, the makeup artist told me that she was a big fan of, she uses almost Bobbi Brown everything else, but she said she's a big fan of the NARS foundations.
Thank you. Thank you, makeup artist. I am too.
So I thought that was a good little tip because I was really looking to see like, okay, what products does she use?
So where did you go to get your makeup done?
I went to this girl. There's a salon here in town called Twirl.
Yes.
And it's where the girl that does my hair used to be, but now she's got her own thing. But I knew, and you hear everybody talk about, there's this girl named Jade, and she does hair, but she also does makeup. And so, and her cousin is my eyebrow person.
Okay.
So, and her cousin does makeup too, but Jade had done my makeup before. She had done it when I did photos, I don't know, like 2 years ago. And I really like, because she was trained under Bobbi Brown. Right. So she really does that natural. So like, I felt like I had a lot of makeup on. I did not look like I had a lot of makeup. You know, like once you factor in the camera, I looked very natural. Because I don't ever want to look super made up.
Well, I've got to get any pictures made here soon.
I know. I know. I was thinking I'm going to need to this next time around. And I don't really want to. I will say she did that thing with my eyes. And I would never do this on my own because I would look like Rocky Balboa if I tried to do it myself. But she did that. You know how Alicia Florrick does her eyes on The Good Wife? And they're like a darker shade. Like it's almost that charcoal gray on her lid.
Yes, I do.
You maybe have not studied it to the extent that
But I always look at Alicia Florrick's eye makeup because
it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, she did my eyes like that, which is so much more eye makeup than what I would normally wear, but I really liked the way it looked.
So was it frosty or was it more of a matte?
No, it was like a matte. She used matte and it was more of a charcoal. I tend to always just do browns on my eyes, but this was like a charcoal gray and it looked really pretty. Like not for every day, but it looked really pretty for like occasions.
Well, I wish I knew how to apply darker colors because I think they do make your eyes pop when you wear them. Mm-hmm. But I'm just normally such a like, oh, here's some beige I can slap on here.
I know. Because I think there's an art to doing the dark colors. Because I was like, if I did this, I would look like I had bruising around my eyes. You know, like
I can't do makeup. We've talked about this before. I can't do makeup.
No, me neither. So anyway, I wish that she could do my eyes every day because I did really like, that was my favorite part were my eyes.
How'd she line them?
She just lined them. She did not line my bottom. She didn't do anything on the bottom. She just lined, but she did that eyeliner. And this is how Gully does hers, with that little tiny brush and like had me look down and like underneath my eyelashes on the top lid, I lined it, you know, like with the little brush and the thing, and then did mascara, but she didn't do anything on my bottom.
Well, you know, I have heard and read that when you do eyeliner on the bottom, it makes you look older.
I've heard that too. I've heard that too. And I have to say, like looking at myself in the mirror, I thought my eyes do look bigger this way.
My only thing is because my eyes, because I'm so fair and sometimes I have to have a little something so you can see that they're, is something different between the white of my eye and my skin. Like sometimes yes. I have yeah. to have a little contrast in there.
Yeah. I just feel like my eyes look, but maybe they don't. The way she did it, I don't know. And maybe it was having the darker shadow on top. I don't know. I just thought the whole thing looked, I don't know. They looked really good.
I hadn't had I don't think I've had my makeup done probably since in about maybe like 4 years ago. I went to Bobbi Brown one Saturday because I wanted all new makeup and they made me up. But I am a little fair complected for Bobbi Brown stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like. Like I feel like it's all on me, it can look a little ready. And, gosh, yeah. And that was probably that was probably the last time somebody did my makeup.
Okay. Well, then I think maybe you ought to go have another trial run at some point.
I know. Maybe you should do my makeup at Dot Mom.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I'm good at doing makeup.
I know. But it'd make for a good story.
It would make for a good story. So maybe, yeah, if you're up for it, because why wouldn't you want to look awful?
Hey, why not?
Well, that was Caroline. She's gotten real into like practicing with makeup. And so her thing is every now and then she's like, Mom, can I do your makeup? And like, God bless her. She is getting better at it. But I've laughed because the last two times she's done it, when she goes to put blush on me, I feel it way down by my chin line. And I'm like, no, that really isn't where we want to accentuate. Like she hadn't quite got the concept of like, it's the apples of your cheeks and then go
Does she watch the videos, the YouTube videos?
No, she didn't watch the YouTube videos. She just likes, cause for Christmas, she got like one of those, I got her one of those like huge kits from Ulta that's just got, you know, all the colors and just to play with and have. And so she's gotten real into, cause I've kind of told her now, I'm like, if you want to use a little bit of concealer and a little bit of lip gloss, I'm okay with that. And so, but she loves to like do makeup, but she really likes to do it on me more than she likes to put it on herself.
I can remember that. I used to love to put makeup on people when I was little.
So, but now here's another little thing, just random, is that Estee Lauder bought Bobbi Brown. Did you know that?
I don't know if I did or not. I guess I didn't.
Yeah. So that's all. So Bobbi Brown is still the creative director, but Bobbi Brown is made by the same, it's made by Estee Lauder now.
Well,
I know. I just thought that was, that's just, doesn't matter to anybody, but I just thought that was interesting.
Well, it's daddy's whole theory that everything's made in one big factory and they just slap different labels on it.
Yeah. Well, I think there's something to that. I'm going to be honest.
What else is going on? We have anything else?
I can't think of anything else. I don't know. We don't have much this weekend in the whole scheme of things. No. Do you have anything else? Look, I know.
That's terrible. Well, it's because it's summer and there's just not anything going on. And I'm kind of in book, like.
You're in book mode.
I'm in book mode. So I'm sort of antisocial and nerdy. I can't think of anything. I did talk to Martha on my way back from, because I ran over to Mississippi, you know, to take Mama to the doctor. And when I was coming home, whatever day that was, Tuesday, Wednesday, I talked to Martha for a long time and for some reason, I don't know, she just tickled me because she was asking me if I'd gotten all the details worked out for this third book and all that kind of stuff. And now did I think it was going to be more like the first one or more like the second one?
Which means, or is it going to be more about me or not?
Like, yes. And how somebody, I think I've told you this before, but how somebody had come up to her and said that they really preferred the second one to the first one. And she thought, well, I'm not in the second one. but I mean, she was kidding, but you know.
Yes.
And then she wanted to know, did I feel like I could tell if there were different audiences that liked each one better? Like, did I think I had kind of nailed down? In other words, who's going to adore me the most?
Yeah.
But she was so sweet. She was really sweet about it. And and I told her, I said, well, I'm gonna have some stories about you, I think, in this third one. And I said, so when I figure out which ones, I'll let you know so you can agree or veto.
Yes. Okay.
So she was tickled about that.
So she'll be waiting to see who her, that is. Well, you know, when we were in Bryan last week, Joe and Dorothy Kay came by who, you know, were Nina's friends that I write about in Nobody's Cuter. And Joe, first thing, she hugged me and she said, now listen, she said, I'm going to try to think of something funny to say so I can be in your next book. And I thought, I appreciate, She's just out there.
Yeah, just put, like, let's be upfront about it.
Yeah, she said, am I going to be in this next book? And I said, she goes, I'm trying to think of something funny to say. And so, and then I had heard that Dorothy Kay was, I think, a little upset because she felt like she was Nina's best friend too. And I didn't necessarily, I don't think I clarified as much that she was. And so she made sure to tell me that day. She goes, you know, I lived on that same street with Joe and Nina. And I said, yes, ma'am, I did. Cause I did know that, but I got tickled because I was like, I don't even remember what I said, but everybody, Dorothy Kay and Joe were equally important in Nina's life.
Right. Well, and, and I can't clarify enough still, even 3 years later or however long it's been, that Martha's issue with the peach cobbler at Western Sizzlin' is not that it's not good.
Yes.
And they don't always not put enough peaches in it. It's just every once in a while.
Yes.
They don't put enough peaches. I have clarified that now for a long time.
Well, you need to, because you never know when Western Sizzlin' will decide to slap somebody with a lawsuit with the flaming their peach cobbler.
I know. Or they're not going to cook her petite soiled sirloin just right, because of the peach cobbler issues.
That'd be a travesty.
So anyway, it's always funny to talk to her. And
yes.
So she called me. Actually, the thing that she wanted to talk about was she had written a Kai Maker recommendation for somebody and she had not signed her maiden name. And did I think that the school where she was sending it was gonna accept it? Without her maiden name on it, or were they just going to think she was some kind of Kai Mega imposter? I said, you know, I think it's fine. I think it's fine if it doesn't have your maiden name on there. I think it's okay. I don't really think they're reading it. I think they're just probably just grateful to...
To have it. And I don't know that you hear about a problem, like there's a rampant problem with sorority imposters, elderly sorority imposters.
I know that there are just, there are a bunch of 80-year-old women who are pretending to be Delta Gammas. I hadn't heard that.
Senior citizens who want you to believe that they were a Kappa. And
that's
they were
exactly
not.
Right.
Uh-huh. It's all ring. It's a big ring of sorority fraud.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I was going to say, it doesn't even originate on the internet. It's like a big phone tree. Like it's...
That's it.
They've got a tight list of everybody's numbers. That's how they organize themselves.
Yeah. Just writing fraudulent recommendations.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I assured her, I felt like her letter would still be valid, even though she did not.
Yes, I think it's going to be okay.
Include her maiden name.
Yes, I think it is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I think we'll all be okay.
So that was my big Martha excitement. Okay. And then my next task today, or after supper, is I want to go get like a big cork board kind of thing to go over my desk, because it dawned on me, I don't know, yesterday or someday when I was back here, I thought, I am working on a book and I have taped things to my wall. Like,
yeah,
I feel like if I'm going to be working on this book for the next little bit, maybe I might want to invest in something where it can, you know, accommodate a push pin. Like,
yeah, that's probably a good theory.
So I'm going to go get me some kind of cork board, I think.
Okay. Well, I thought, remember I told you, because I noticed that Annie Downs had done all those like big pages and she had them like taped up and organized across her wall. Mm-hmm. And I thought, here's the difference. I don't even, like, I look at those and I'm like, where'd she get those big pieces of paper? Where'd she find those?
I think maybe it's like a big, like a sketch pad, and she ripped pages out of the sketch pad and put those up lengthwise. I've thought about it too.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to know I'm not the only one, because I think I'm missing the point that what I'm caught up in is, hey, where'd you get that paper? Like,
well, because you and I have this thing where we feel like everybody else has a method.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
I know.
Feel like everybody else has a method, and I would say the only real method we have is that we tend to name our chapters before we start the book.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's almost, for me, that's almost by necessity.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't use any software. If there's a good way to plan a book, I've tried to use post-it notes more this time, but I haven't really happened upon a system. So anytime I see somebody with a system, I'm like a dog after a bone. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Tell me. Show me. Yeah.
Show me how to do this. Never mind that with my personality, if I couldn't, like, if I couldn't make it work for me within 30 seconds, I'd throw it all in the trash and say, well, this is dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Well, that's, and it's so, but I think it's all how your brain works too, because I got tickled yesterday because Caroline and I were driving somewhere and I said, you know, I'm working on this book outline and trying to come up with like what it's going to be and whatever. And she said, now when you, she said, will you change it when you write the book? And I said, oh yeah, my final books hardly ever end up looking like my outlines really. You know, I said, it just depends on, and I said, and for Nobody's Cuter, I never even had an outline. And she goes, well, she said, that's how my, she said, my English teacher. And I said, but the older you get in school, I said, the more your teachers are going to require you to like develop an outline right before you write a paper. I said, that'll be part of the, and she goes, well, we had that this year in my English class. She said, my teachers told us all these things about how we write down a word and then we can come off of that word with like different ideas and what that word makes us think of or whatever. And she said, so, I mean, I just did that. She goes, but then when I wrote my paper, I wrote it about something totally different. Cause I was like, that doesn't even make sense. And I was like, see, she's like me. Like mm-hmm. she doesn't just like let it go. I don't want to plan it out, you know? So, but I thought that was funny that she just wrote what she wanted to write.
But I like to plan it to a certain extent, but I don't like to be too, I don't know. I'm weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I think though, you don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
You know, like I think with Nobody's Cuter, I think about this all the time where I'm like, my life, things in my life changed as I was writing that book that ended up being in that book. But those were things I couldn't have plotted those out because I didn't know that Jen's cancer was going to come back. And I didn't know that Nina was going to pass away, you know, and all that stuff. So it's that sometimes life happens and it changes everything when you're writing what the kind of stuff we write.
Right. That is so true.
So, and I've heard fiction writers say that, which, you know, we both said our brain doesn't work that way, but it tickles me when somebody's like, when you read like a, cause I've read so many novels this summer and I read like if there's a reading guide at the back and the author will say, you know, I had no idea the main character was going to end up leaving her husband. Right. And what I didn't foresee was that her mother was going to pass away. Uh-huh. And I'm like, how do you, but that's all made up in your head.
You were in control of that. Like,
it's weird because I guess if your brain works that way, those characters become real people to you. And I guess you think that you know the way they're, I'm like, I guess fiction is still the same as real life where you think something's going to look one way and then it ends up taking a turn.
Well, my friend Anne, who she writes young adult fiction, she has a book coming out in December and she's working on her next book. And she posted one day, I can't remember if it was Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or something, where she had like in their bedroom, she had put up like five or six poster boards, like across the wall. Oh. And like for each chapter, she listed all the characters and kind of where she wanted them to be sort of, and who she, it blew my mind. Like I just sit there and look at those charts and wouldn't be able to write.
Mm-mm.
You know, yeah. but I think it really works for her because she has to kind of plan out. She likes to, I think, plan out kind of where they're going.
Yeah. And what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, my brain does not work that way. I wish it did. I think fiction would be so fun to write, but I couldn't even begin to make up a story.
Well, I'm just going to tell you that all I ever needed to know about my ability to write fiction, I learned in creative writing my junior year of college. And that experience alone and my professor's reaction alone to my short story was proof positive to me that the Lord has not gifted me in that particular way.
That is not your particular
thing.
Yes.
And yes. I remember in the poetry unit, I would just try to think of the most absurd things I could mm-hmm. and fit them together. Like I was going to create this whole sort of rural Mississippi vignette thing. Mm-hmm. Because it was the only, I couldn't figure out how to write about real life without sounding like the bow-headed sorority girl I was.
Yes. Yeah. So you needed to have some angst and some, yeah. Some tension.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there mm-hmm. were a lot of bars in my poems.
Yes.
A lot of whiskey.
Oh, so funny.
Because I went as dramatic as I could conceive at that point in my life.
Mm-hmm. That was you. You manufactured all the drama you could possibly. Uh-huh.
I did. But my short story, I did not do that. And I mean, it was one of those things where you had to read it out loud. And when I got to the end of it, like, nobody said anything. And it wasn't one of those things like nobody could even speak because they were so moved. Like, mm-hmm. nobody could speak because there was just nothing.
It's so awkward. It's just all so awkward.
Yeah, there was nothing to say. There was absolutely nothing to say. It was terrible.
I can't remember the last time I wrote a fictional story, but I mean, it was somewhere in the realm of like junior school.
That was the last one for me. That was the final attempt.
Mm-hmm.
That may
mm-hmm.
have been the only attempt, but, anyway,
yeah, it did not end. Mm-mm. Yeah. Everybody's got different gifts.
They do. And mm-hmm. that is not mine.
Yeah. So there you have it.
All right. Anything else?
No, I don't think I have anything else. I've got to go. I think Caroline, she's texted me. I think they're ready to be picked up from the pool in a little bit. So I guess I'm going to go do that and then figure out what the rest of our day. Mimi and Bops want to take us out to go eat Thai food tonight.
Oh, listen, you have such fondness for Thai food and all of the...
I know. Well, Caroline loves it. And there's a place here that they love. And so, but they like the owner when the owner's there cooking is when they want to go. And so my dad's going to call at 5 o'clock to see if the owner's there cooking tonight. And if she is, then that's where they want to go. If she's not, then we're not going there. And so, you know that I am praying that she is not.
Right. Well, you hope that she is on vacation.
Yes. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, that would be a great thing for them to go take Caroline to do without me sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I want Mexican food.
Of course you do.
Well, because I always do. And I had it yesterday. I want it again today.
What did you have yesterday?
We met Caroline's friends for a late lunch at Paloma Blanca, and I had the green enchiladas, which I love.
Mm.
They were good. So I had that for lunch yesterday, and then I never ate dinner because I was so full from my green enchiladas.
Well, so. I have not had Mexican food since Sunday at Chewy's, so it's time.
Yeah, it is time. Well, for sure, you know that when we're in Nashville together for Dot Mom, we'll go grab some Mexican food.
Oh, yeah. And
El Casa Grande or somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
For sure we will.
Mm-hmm.
Ranchero Grande.
That's it. Yeah. Because we did. We remember last year when we were there, we went and ate somewhere. It was not good.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah. It was not good.
We'll
so anyway.
We'll find where it's got. There's some bad Mexican somewhere.
There always is. You can find it. You could even find bad Mexican right here in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everywhere if you look hard enough. And we do.
We do. We take pride in it.
And we do. So.
All right. Well, we'll talk to y'all later.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Let it be, the first name that I call, and let it be Jesus, my song inside the storm. I'll never need another.